Hello, and welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Alex Cooper. I'm filling in for Jeffrey Davis this morning. Our guest today is Henrik Totterman. He's a dean of practice at Hult International Business School and an entrepreneur himself. So we're delighted to have you here this morning.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So tell us a little bit about what you do at Hult International School of Business. We've had a number of guests from Hult recently.
Yes, so I've been with Hult for 8 years. I started off by as the dean of the Boston campus and also as a professor of entrepreneurship, professor of practice. And in the past 2 years, I've been heavily involved with the accreditations at Hult. Hult operationally merged with Ashridge Business School from UK. And as part of that, we've been bringing together the academic frameworks of these two schools. And we have also been applying for a number of different international business school accreditations. And I'm glad to say that it's been a very successful past 2 years.
So that international is not just like window dressing.
No, on the opposite. I think even this morning, just in Boston, we have about 1,000 graduate students, and they come from over 100 different countries. So it's not only window dressing for sure.
Oh, that is very impressive. So what did you? How did you get into academia?
That's a very good question, and it kind of goes back to entrepreneurship, actually. I'm the fifth generation of entrepreneurs in my family, and my mother was the one carrying forward the entrepreneurship, and my father worked for an international American company in Finland. And of course, seeing the entrepreneurship close by took me to entrepreneurship very early, and that gradually led me to the moment when I was standing 12 o'clock in the night, high school age, at my parents' bed. And I was saying that, look how successful I am in my own entrepreneurial venture. And my parents got very upset. They said, they don't have a lot of money, but they have enough to put you through education. Now it's time for it. And that's how I entered college. And I got very excited by management studies and very soon found my kind of home in entrepreneurship, kind of research and academia. And I think the professors in the university liked me because I had the practical stance of entrepreneurship, and they had the theoretical research background. So we became very good kind of collaborators and worked together on making an impact, not only in research, but also, of course, in the classroom environment and beyond.
So what was that pre-college entrepreneurial venture?
So I had an uncle who had a quite successful landscaping business, and he was a landscape architect. And I worked for him for a number of years. And then, of course, at some point, I became a little bit cocky, if you want. Mm-hmm. And I said to him that I could do this on my own. I don't need you. And he must have liked me because he said, go on your own. I know that you don't have a lot of equipment and money, but I like the boldness. And if you ever need, you can come and borrow my bobcats and my excavators and my lorry. So that's how I set off. I was 19 years old with a friend of mine, and we got to borrow my uncle's equipment from day one, and that was fantastic.
Oh, so that was like the Uber version of landscaping before there was such a thing as Uber.
Yes, and I had this kind of intangible venture capitalist backing me up.
That's a great story. So I guess we can fast forward a bit now to post-university. Where did you go from there?
Yeah, so from university, I actually continued in the family business, and then also on the side of it, I continued in the university at Hanken School of Economics in Helsinki. And at Hanken, I had a number of different roles. I started off as an assistant to professors, working in the so-called help desk. And then over the years, I became an assistant professor. That took me to Spain. I was in Barcelona for 9 months. And then came back and defended my thesis, which was in entrepreneurship and management. And actually, on the night when I defended my thesis, when we were celebrating, the principal of the school, the rector, stood up and said that we also have an announcement to make here tonight. Henrik is becoming the director of our EMBA program here in the university. So I really never had a chance for a postdoc life and any research. I went into administration very quickly, and already then I'd been working for a number of years in executive education. And kind of the international aspect came very quickly into my life. I was just one plus year in that role as the EMBA program director when I met the provost of the time of Hult International Business School. And he wanted to recruit me either to open the San Francisco campus location or to take over the campus deanship here in Boston.
So you had a choice between San Francisco and Boston?
That's correct, yes.
Much like Jimmy Garoppolo didn't have much of a choice.
And the reality was that I was declining many times to take the role overall or at all. And then I had an entrepreneurial wife who said to me that, let's go for an adventure, let's have fun. And now 8 years later, I have to say, I thank her every day. It's been a fantastic 8 years.
That's great. So tell us a little bit about some of your entrepreneurial ventures that are going on now.
Yes. So I'm currently, I've kind of 8 years at Halt in a dean role. It's coming gradually to an end. And that's kind of the accreditation work we have been doing is naturally kind of wrapping up. And my goal is to in January to continue as a professor of practice in entrepreneurship. And I'm doing that at Halt, and I'm also going to do that at Harvard Extension School, where my course in new business venturing is taking off in January, end of January, and that's really exciting. Mm-hmm. That's a course I've been teaching since 2003, and I've iterated it and changed and updated it over the years. And I've been sitting for the last weeks just kind of fine-tuning that specific course for a hybrid format at Harvard. And in addition to that, I'm also building my own business venture. It's called Lead Extreme. So it's Lead X3M. And what we are going to be doing is business advising, a lot of market entry strategy related work, then also talent recruitment and also competence development. So kind of bringing together things that I've been doing as a kind of independent, self-employed consultant over the years. And I'm really excited about it. And thanks to Halt, I have a global network, and I look forward to working with you perhaps somewhere in the world.
That sounds fascinating. So how do you define entrepreneurship?
That's a great question. And I actually start every course by handing out 130 cards to my mm-hmm. students. And those cards are fantasy cards, and they have to pick cards that they think resonate the best with entrepreneurship. For me, I think entrepreneurship is definitely not something that is connected to an organization. It's not about founding something. Mm-hmm. It's to me a lot about a mindset. You can be very entrepreneurial without being a kind of a startup business owner. Mm-hmm. I studied in my thesis industrial designers, and that was kind of a fantastic definition to me what entrepreneurship can be. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, they are super entrepreneurial because they are very creative and they like to progress things. They're risk takers, they're very competent and focused on whatever achievement they try to push forward. And on the other hand, they are perhaps not very commercially oriented. And that's kind of an oxymoron, a challenge that they face. And in order to support their living, they need to find someone who's willing to pay for their services. But to answer your question, I think entrepreneurship can be defined a little bit differently in different contexts. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to separate it from the organizational structure.
Yeah, actually, that's what I was wondering about. Even when you start thinking about teaching people entrepreneurship, and the type of entrepreneurship you're teaching, is like there's a way to go for the big startup venture and the, you know, we're going to be a $1 billion company at some point versus I run this little niche business in publishing or something like that. There's all different ranges of entrepreneurship. And it was interesting that you brought up industrial designers, who are people that I admire quite a bit, but their version of entrepreneurship is a little bit different. I mean, you know, sometimes if you like take a company like IDEO and what they do for their clients is really very entrepreneurial.
Yeah, and we actually have in Boston, we have a similar company, Continuum, I love them. They are doing a lot of fantastic work, and we visited them just recently with my old EMBA program from Finland. So the Hanken School of Economics took their EMBA students here, and Continuum showed them around in their new premises down in the harbor, and we had a splendid time. So a great local company as well there.
Yes, they sort of approach this as going through like problem solving, or figuring out what problem they want to solve. And then they do it very cleverly through design.
So exactly,
But I guess there's all kinds of different versions of design that you could talk about too in entrepreneurship, because it's not just product design.
We've worked with executive education quite a lot with clients who are asking for service design and designing their processes. Mm-hmm. That's also, I mean, a lot of kind of design thinking goes in there, and functionality mm-hmm. and so forth. And that's really exciting. And I love to improve processes. That's something that I aspire for.
I understand that as well. I mean, you were talking earlier before we got on the air, I don't know if you want to bring it up, but you talked about that kind of innovative approach to a law firm that you were telling me about earlier.
Yes, so I mentioned it's my friend from the youth. We worked together with McKinsey Initiated Venture Cup in Finland. Her name is Marianne Saarikko, and she started with her husband a very innovative law firm. It's called Fondia. And Fondia went public actually just very recently, and they're expanding rapidly in the Nordic market. But their innovation has been is to create a law firm that sells law as a service. So rather than selling by the hour, you actually subscribe to a package of legal services. And then for a range of different reasons, the legislation in the Nordic countries has enabled a law firm to go public. But they're the first public law firm in the Nordics, and getting a lot of reputation, a lot of positive reputation, and expanding hopefully at some point here to the States as well.
Yeah, well, there's innovative opportunities everywhere if you just know where to look.
So. Yeah. No, I think, and I think it's, there are a lot of traditional stale markets where we as entrepreneurs should look for opportunities and recreate the market space and design it to meet the modern purposes of where we are heading.
And on that note, Henrik, tell us how people can get in touch with you if you want to find out more or work with you or figure out, you know, other things that you can do together.
Yes, so of course you will find me on LinkedIn and you can find my company homepage, which is leadextreme.com. And as I said, it's X3M. So that's how you spell it.
X3M.
Yeah.
I think I've got that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning. My name is Alex Cooper, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs. We'll be back after these messages.
Thank you very much.